NHL draft was a couple of weeks ago. A lot of players drafted. A lot of players go in different places than they would have expected. You were drafted in the fourth round in 1980. What were your feelings on that when you were originally drafted? Were you expecting yourself to go higher? Like, how did you feel the day you were drafted?
You feel great. You know, as a kid, you dream about going to NHL, and the same as every kid that got drafted last week. It's a dream come true. You're excited. Whether you go first round, second round, doesn't matter. You're drafted, and you're given a great opportunity. So for me, I was tremendously excited.
It must have been a huge change for you, you know, to come all the way, you know, to the warm weather and just like a completely different lifestyle. So, you know, after, you know, you spent a year in juniors after the draft and you played a little while in the AHL. When you finally got to LA, like, when did it really kind of sink in that you were there?
Well, I think when you start playing there and, you know, had great success in New Haven, I had great training camps too. So I felt once I got there, I was going to be able to stay there, and once I got my opportunity, obviously, I made the best of it. And but like you say, big culture shock coming from a little town in Ontario to the largest city possibly in North America, in LA, and the sunshine and palm trees. So a little bit of adjustment, but it was the opportunity to play, and it was just amazing the way it happened.
That Kings roster when you first got there had some pretty interesting characters, some great players. What was the locker room like when you first got there? How did you kind of fit in and find your place?
Well, I think for a kid, I just turned 20 years old. You know, you're used to playing your minor hockey with kids, junior hockey, you know, with teenagers, and now all of a sudden you're in a locker room and you got grown men in there. so that's a big shock in itself. You know, the guy's smoking in the dressing room at the time. you know, there's beer on the floor after games. And so obviously it was different, you know, but still, like you said, we had some great players there, Marcel Dion, Dave Taylor, Charlie Simmer. So great players to look up to, great players to, you know, to talk to learn from. And, you know, so you're still excited. You know, like I said, you're just a kid, and you know, all of a sudden you're playing the NHL with grown men. So a bit of a change, but you get used to it pretty quick.
Did anyone kind of take you under their wing those first couple of years and kind of, like, get you acclimated to the NHL lifestyle?
Well, I think so. Like, our captain at the time was Mike Murphy. Works for the NHL now. Super guy. Kind of took care of the young guys. Charlie Simmer did too. Took care of the young guys. So it always helps. You know, when you got a young kid come up, he's sort of a fish out of water because, like I say, they're just young. And it's such an importance for an older guy to kind of take the young kids aside and kind of lead them, show them the way. So there's a couple good guys like that for me in L.A.
I grew up in the 80s and the early 90s, and this was, you know, obviously before the internet and before everyone knew everything about everybody. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to, you know, collect hockey cards, and I would look at the back of cards, and Dave Taylor's hockey card always struck me because it was just like this really long list because he was with the Kings for so long. I mean,
yeah, 18 years, I think.
What was he kind of like Mr. King in a way? I mean, because he was a dynamic scorer and he was a leader and stuff like that, but he had like a different type of role. So, like, what was his role with that team?
Well, Dave was just your hard worker. You know, he played with Marcel and Charlie Simmer. He complimented them very well. Dave was a super guy to play with. He worked so hard. He was a big, strong boy that he got you pucks. He could put the puck in the net. But he was just a great grinder that got the puck to the skilled guys, gave him opportunities to create some offense. So Dave was super to have around.
Okay, so you've discussed this in interviews before about how the Kings felt when Gretzky came. But once he came and you guys got on the ice with him, how did things change for you? I mean, you were a 90, 100-point scorer, 40-goal scorer before he came. But when he came, how did your game change as a result of having him on the ice?
Well, I think, you know, arguably the greatest offensive player to ever play the game. When he's on your team, it's going to create a lot more offense. And if you're an offensive-minded person like I am and I was, obviously I'm going to benefit from that, have an opportunity to play with Wayne, power plays, killing penalties. It's just going to create a lot more offense for you. So having him around obviously made life a lot more easier and more fun for me, for sure.
Okay. The 70-goal season, I mean, even if your shooting percentage wasn't insane, it was still insane by anybody else's, you know, imagination. How did it feel that season, kind of scoring at an every game clip and 150 points? I mean, people say if they can get to that 1 point a game, they're solid, but you almost had it at two. So what was that season like for you?
No, you know, like I said, obviously it was an amazing year. You just get on a roll. When you're playing with an elite player like Wayne, he kind of brings the best out of everybody. And, you know, as a player, you want to do your best, obviously, for him. And, you know, this was no different for me. It was having the opportunity to be around him every day, you know, brought the best out of me. But obviously things just went well. I shot the puck a lot. Puck just found the net. And once it gets going sometimes, the momentum, it just carries on. And for me, 14 left, it carried on for basically a whole year.
Okay, just to backtrack a little bit, after you were drafted, you spent another season in juniors, and then you went up to the AHL. When you finally got, like, the call-up, what was your mindset like? Because you said before you were pretty much on fire in the AHL at that point. So what were your expectations for yourself once you got to the NHL level?
Well, you know, you feel as a player that I can do in the NHL what I did in the American Hockey League. And, you know, I had enough confidence in myself to know that I deserve to be there. I should be there. So I think when you're going in with that confidence and you play the well, as well as you feel you're capable of playing, then you should be able to do it in the NHL. And for me, it worked. You know, I went up, I think, I played 22 games when I get called up. I had three hat tricks and three home games. I had, you know, 14 goals in 22 games or something like that. So I knew I could do it. It's just a matter of getting the opportunity. And, you know, when I finally got it, I think I was ready for it and made the best of it.
When I think of solid NHL players, I always think of, like, an adaptation process. I think of, like, somebody like Scott Stevens, who started off, you know, as an offensive defenseman, but he was tough, and then, like, the last 5 or 6 years of his career, he played tighter defense and was known for that. You're a guy, too, that was a prolific scorer, but adapted and changed the way he played. How do you really want to be remembered by people that have never seen you play?
Well, I think as any player, you want to be a well-rounded two-way player that you can be relied on at any stage of the game. Whether it's you're winning by one goal and you got to defend, take a big face-off, or whether you're down by a goal and you need to score a goal. You know, to be creative offensively and to be gifted offensively, that's just part of the game. You got to take care of your other end too. And you know, I took pride in that. I took pride in blocking shots. With pride in being the best face-off man I could be. So, you know, I think you just want to be known as just a complete player at both ends of the rink, someone that can do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, for me, that's all that I've ever tried to do. You know, I think you're gifted with one or the other. And for me, it was offensively. And then you learn the defensive side and hard work, and you become a great defensive player as well.
What advice, like, if you had to say one or two things to one of these kids that was drafted this year to kind of get them going in the right direction on their way to their professional career, what do you think that you would say?
Well, I think the key is your work ethic. You know, I think you find a guy on the team that works harder than anybody, gives you good direction that way, but you know, I know it's no cliche, but you look and most of your elite players are the hardest working players in their profession, and that's what you got to do. You got to listen, you know, take direction well from from coaches, players, but for the most part, you got to work harder than anybody there. And I think if you're doing that and you have the skill that obviously to get there, and then you put a good work ethic in into to complement your skill, I think the sky would be the limit.
So that's really like the physical end of the whole equation, but emotionally too, there's going to be a lot going on. So I mean, with you were a 20-year-old kid, and you get shipped off to another country, and you kind of have to like find yourself. So what advice would you give to a draftee on the emotional side of things, like just staying level? How would you tell them to do that?
Well, you know, I think that's the toughest part. A lot of times, professional athletes is you leave home at such a young age, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that the great players, they're really mentally strong, and I think for a young kid, chances are good to be in the position he's in. He's got to be mentally tough as well. And you know, like I said, you get in a situation, you look for an older player, someone to look up to, someone to kind of take you under their wing and kind of show you the ropes, and you keep your mouth shut and you listen, right? And
yeah.
I think that's great advice for anybody.
Do you feel like you missed out on anything, considering like you played juniors and you've been involved in the game for so long, like emotionally or from like a family point of view, because of like how much time you spent playing professional hockey?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I left home when I was 16 years old. So, and then I left the country, you know, when I was 19. So, absolutely missed out, especially, you know, most people are close to their families. And when you have to leave at a young age, that's very tough for kids, you know. And that's what I mean by chances are good. If you got to that level, your chances are you're very mentally tough. And, but you pretty much have to be a professional athlete.
Okay. So now that you've been retired, how do you make up for lost time? Like, how do you enjoy spending time with your family? How is post-hockey Bernie different from, you know, the NHL version of Bernie Nichols?
Well, you know, obviously different because you get to spend more time home with your family, holidays, birthdays, you know, Christmas time. And, you know, I do a lot of hunting. So I came back, I've done a lot of hunting with my family when I retired. And so just, you know, time well spent, I guess, gives you that opportunity.
Who is your favorite person to play with besides Gretzky? Because, I mean, obviously you played a year and a half with Gretzky. You probably loved every second of it. So,
yeah, Chris Chelios was in Chicago. I've said it many times. Other than obviously Gretz, you know, the opportunity to play with Wayne was just something special. But if I could play with one player my whole career, it'd be Chris Chelios.
Why?
Well, just what he brings to the ice. He's the hardest working player. He was my captain. He was tough. He was mean. He was so gifted offensively. He could play all night, and he did. He's just competitive. His will to win, his work ethic. You know, we used to do push-ups, sit-ups in the sauna, you know, and practices and stuff. He works so hard. I remember he cut my ear wide open in practice. You know, mm-hmm. I tried to get around him, and that's how competitive he is. He just... he just works so hard, and his love for the game to me. So, and he's just obviously a Hall of Fame player. Just to play with one guy the whole time, it would have been Chris for sure.
If we could talk a couple of seconds about your time with the Rangers, I know it must have been tough, to, you know, to get traded, especially with all the success you had with Gretzky. But you put up a point a game there. You took that team to the second round. Were there any like bitter feelings when you left, considering like where you had come from and what you had done during your time there?
No, not really. You know, I was devastated I got traded just because of who I got traded for. You know, Mark Messier, I would love to have played with Mark. You know, getting traded is part of the game. You know, the first one's the toughest one. Leaving LA was tough because I was playing with Wayne. When I got traded from New York, you know, I knew who they were getting. They were getting Mark Messier. So it just, hurt that I didn't have a chance to play with Mark.
I mean, you could kind of say in Edmonton it was a little interesting situation too, because they had a lot of depth offensively, and you were a big piece of that. You were scoring a point a game in Edmonton too, and then they decided to kind of like go through the rebuild. And I'm sure for a guy from Canada that it's like you guys want to play in Canada one day. So like you get there, and it's only like, you know, you only play I think 76 games there over the course of a year and a half. So how did that feel when you were in Edmonton?
Well, to be honest with you, playing Edmonton was awesome. Like you said, being a Canadian boy, to play somewhere in Canada would have been great. So for me, it was Edmonton. When I got traded to Edmonton that year, I didn't get there till December 1st, because I just had twins in November. So, but the first team we played in the playoffs was the LA Kings. So after them trading me, and I think at that time they might have had, I don't know if Yuri Curry was there.
Yeah, he was there.
Chris was there.
Yeah, 91, 92.
Coffee might have been there.
Yep.
You know, like they had a ton of ex-Oilers, but for me, being a, you know, seeing how the Kings traded me, we'd go in there and meet them first round and end up eliminating them. So that was obviously pretty sweet for me.
Hey, you and Joe Murphy were on fire in that playoff year. Is that kind of like what was fueling you?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Vinny Dan Poos, the three of us, our line, we were awesome. We had a great playoff run. All three of us played very well. And I, you know, but obviously when a team trades you, there's a little extra motivation there going back in to play against them. And obviously it couldn't have turned out any better for me.
The Hall of Fame. I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, and I'm not going to ask you, you know, the boilerplate, do you think that you belong in the Hall of Fame, but I just want to, from your point of view, do you feel like that you are happy enough with your career and the things that you've done that that doesn't matter to you?
Oh, no question. You know, I never started out to play to make the Hall of Fame. I played because I love the game, and other than winning a Stanley Cup, I did everything probably that you would need to qualify. You know, there's guys in the Hall of Fame now that don't have as many, their stats aren't as good as me, and they never won the Cup. So, you know, but the difference is I played in the West Coast, they played in the East Coast. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know a player that has averaged more than a point a game for their career that's not in the Hall of Fame. You know, so, and if I scored 70 goals when I played in Toronto, they'd induct me the next day, right?
Yeah.
But problem is, the people in the West Coast or the East Coast, they don't watch teams play in the West Coast. And, you know, I can name a couple players right now that obviously 100% should be Hall of Famers, and they are, but my stats are better than theirs. So, you know, because they played in Toronto or they played in Montreal, you know, so, you know, but, I mean, that's just my opinion on it. You know, we didn't start playing, you know, my whole career was pretty much, or 10 years of it in L.A., and so they don't really notice the West Coast players that much.
Sure. You wrote an article last year for the Daily News that, like I told you in the email that I sent you, it just struck me. Like, it just, you talked about, you know, how hard this game is on the body and on the mind and on the spirit. Yeah. And all of those things. Considering the way the NHL is played now, do you think that players that will be in your situation, that will have played in the NHL for 16 years, will be in a better place than you feel that you are now? How do you feel about all of the changes in the game over the past couple of years to make it safer?
Oh, I think it's awesome. I think what they've done, you know, the great thing about the NHL is they're trying every day to make the game better, safer. You know, kids to this day, they're so much bigger, faster, stronger than when I played. You know, and but the thing is, the NHL is doing everything they can to improve it, make it safer, make the equipment safer. They got, you know, concussion protocol in place now. Any kind of hits to the head, you know, I just think what they're doing is they're just trying to make the game better. And I think, you know, the steps they are taking and continuing to take are awesome.
So so what are you up to now?
Well, we just launched the first ever real money sports stock market. The company's called All Sports Market, and you can go to allsportsmarket.com. We just launched baseball in August. We got the NFL, NHL, and NBA coming. It's just like the New York Stock Exchange, but instead of investing in gold or silver or something, you can invest in your favorite sports team. You can buy shares. They start at $2.50, and obviously they'll continue to go up. But I mean, you get to watch your favorite team play every day. You get paid dividends on every win. It's not gambling. It's not a, you know, your investment never expires. You can hold on to it for as long as you want, or you can sell it whenever you want. But it's kind of the alternative of gambling, and it's investing. So I said this different time. I don't know any fan that wouldn't really feel like they didn't want to own a piece of their own team. And now you can do it for as low as $2.50 a share. So it's a great concept, and I'd love for people to go. We actually got a referral program coming out that when you sign up and you bring other people in, you get like four or five free shares of your favorite team. So concept's brilliant. Any true fan would really enjoy this this website.
How did you get involved with these guys?
My cousin actually, this company's been going on for a while. My cousin actually asked because they were looking for a sports person or a pro athlete. And I talked to the NHL about it. I talked to Major League Baseball. I went in and seen Bill Daly, the commissioner. You know, he just asked me if it was gambling. I said, no. What we want to do once it gets up and running is we're going to give all the leagues 50% of every transaction made in their sport.
Wow.
So for nothing. So, I don't know any league that wouldn't want free money. So hopefully we can make the league some money.
All right. So last question. Where can people go for more information again?
You go to allsportsmarket.com. And there's a free version. We've had a free version up for a year, kind of a learning tool. They give you $2,500 of free money to play, but then you can go up top right. It says real money. You can sign up and buy shares in your favorite sports team.